According to Census Bureau data, Orlando remains the country's fastest growing large metro region. With such rapid population growth, urban sprawl has made it difficult for public transportation, namely the bus system, to keep up. Wrapping up our series, Central Florida Seen and Heard, Costly Commute, reporter Lillian Hernandez-Caraballo takes a look at what experts say is one possible solution, transit-oriented development.
So you're probably wondering what transit-oriented development, also known as TOD, means. It's all about urbanization, creating clusters of dense multi-unit housing and business around transportation lines. Bob O'Malley is with the Orlando Economic Partnership, and before that, MetroPlan Orlando, the organization charged with charting the future of public transit in the region.
By encouraging dense development and urban infill around those investments. So the dense development follows the transportation investment, not vice versa.
O'Malley says it's not a new idea, even for Central Florida, but one that leaders here need to lean more into. People like Maya Colon know why. It's 4 in the morning on a workday when her alarm goes off, playing J. Cole's Deja Vu. It's early. In fact, the 26-year-old has 3.5 hours before her shift at a prosthetics and orthotics clinic in South Orlando. It's about 25 miles north of her home in Osceola County's Poinciana, which would take just under an hour if she were driving. But Maya doesn't have a car. She takes the bus. Still dark out, Maya leaves her house and walks over a mile in her scrubs to the nearest Link stop to catch the 5 a.m. bus.
We are now approaching Link Pacific Station.
She then connects to a second bus before taking a final walk to work, just in time to clock in by 7:30. In total, Maya's morning commute takes about 2.5 hours if there are no delays. And that's just one way. After work, she does it again. But in rush hour, getting home takes her closer to 3 hours, if all goes well.
I get home at, like, honestly, depending on the day and just a bus or something, it's like 7:38, and I get off at 4:30.
When we met, Maya was sitting on a bench, a bus stop near Orange Blossom Trail, waiting for Lynx after work. She says she's been commuting like this since she was in high school. She tells me she wishes buses on her route ran every 15 minutes. Instead, for her, it's every 30 minutes.
I would think it'd make more sense to have buses go quicker. That way people could just hop on and go instead of waiting.
Maya laughs, but she says she worries for the people most reliant on public transit, the poor and unhoused, older adults, people with disabilities, and low-wage workers.
Some buses don't make it. They don't make it at all.
MetroPlan Orlando says that last year, a quarter of riders didn't make their doctor's appointments for lack of reliable transportation.
It's frustrating. I don't think it's like so much of like being mad that I don't have a car. It's just frustrating that you're not in control. When you have a car, it's on you if you're late or not. However, when you're depending on public transportation, it's different.
Eric Grimmer says he's trying to change things for people like Maya. Grimmer is the Orlando representative for the group YIMBY, which stands for Yes in My Backyard, and advocates for housing and public transportation, as well as for cleaner, bikeable, walkable communities. He says decades of unplanned suburban development have turned Central Florida into a car-dependent region with congested and dangerous roads.
The way we have developed those communities, kind of that low-density suburban sprawl pattern where everything is spread out, it makes it difficult to get around anywhere without a car. Causes more cars to be on the road, causes more traffic congestion. There's all sorts of environmental issues.
Grimmer also chairs a new citizen advisory board assessing transit needs and priorities in Orange County. The board had their first meeting in January.
And we quickly learned that problems 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 in our transportation system is funding, 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 funding. We are one of the few major metropolitan areas in the United States that does not have a dedicated revenue source for transportation.
Like most other public transit in the U.S., Lynx is funded through a combination of fuel sales taxes, as well as local, state, and federal sources. But Grimmer says there's a difference here.
We are one of the few major metropolitan areas in the United States that does not have a dedicated revenue source for transportation.
Plus, Lynx ridership is down 28% from where it was before COVID hit in 2020. Missing riders means missing revenue for Lynx. The public bus system covers 2,500 square miles from Volusia to Polk counties, including service to Orange, Osceola, Seminole, and Lake, with just over 400 buses. In 2022, Orange County tried passing a penny tax to fund public transit, but it was voted down. The following year, the county began a program providing $100 million for transportation over the next 5 years. The penny tax would have brought in $600 million every year for 20 years. Now remember Bob O'Malley from the beginning of the story? He says we have to think about things differently.
We can become the number one place to live, and we can become a top innovation hub in our region of 15-minute cities. Walkable, safe, connected cities.
A 15-minute city is one where, regardless of how you get around, it wouldn't take you longer than 15 minutes to get from point A to point B. O'Malley says these are truly high-density, multi-use urban zones, with fewer vehicles on the road and more people using nearby public transit. And more ridership translates into more revenue for public transportation. What he's describing is that transit-oriented development idea we talked about at the beginning of the story. If it only took 15 minutes to get from point A to point B, Maya Colon wouldn't spend at least an hour of her day walking and another 2 and 3 hours at least sitting on a bus. O'Malley says that when planned well, TODs can lift communities through connection and higher wage jobs.
No housing is affordable if you don't have a job. So you need a job, you need housing, but you need a way to get to the job. So it's a three-legged stool. It's housing, it's transportation, and it's employment.
One builder leading the way in TODs and affordable housing is Wendover Group. Ryan Von Weller is chief operating officer. He says developing affordable housing as TODs is becoming harder to do because of cost. In fact, the only reason Von Weller says he was able to get behind Wendover's current project called Catchlight Crossings is because the landowner, Universal, actually donated the 20 acres with a 99-year lease, saving the builder around $35 million and making the 1,000 affordable and workforce housing units complex feasible.
We need to have more major employers donate property. We can't build a unit and then charge affordable rents without the state agency, the federal government, or the locals participating in some fashion.
The development, with a transit-oriented design, is expected to connect its residents to a Lynx and Sunrail station just right across the way, as well as to rideshares, microtransits, and different ways of getting around. Back with Maya Colon, she's exiting the bus with her final stretch ahead, a 30-minute walk home in the shoes she's been wearing for at least 14 hours. It's a walk that in the future could be cut in half if 15-minute cities are the future for Central Florida. Lillian Hernandez Caraballo, Central Florida Public Media.
Lillian Hernandez Caraballo is a Report for America Corps member.